All right, it's the top of the hour, so let's go ahead and get started. All right, previous one's locked. This one's not locked. Anyway, Yoss says, what's the dog doing? Dog's asleep on the couch. They're a bit tired today. I don't know why. Might do a walk later. Haven't done a longer one in a while. Sometimes I just want air, and, like, I see that the sun's out, and that's kind of rare for where I live, so probably like a longer walk. Moving forward, Nuki says, what have you been working on? How has this been going? What's interesting about it? So I lost, like, I don't know, I want to say like two-thirds to like half of last week because I got a new computer in and I had to get that set up, and I kept having issues that were mostly self-caused by myself, but I also like had to keep taking breaks to spend time with dogs and walk and all sorts of stuff. So it took longer than usual, but it was worth every moment so that we have got a working computer. Old computer would do, like, you know, still limp along, but I don't know if you heard about it at last week's office hours, but it was just grinding to a halt in everything I wanted to do, making generally work miserable. So I've got that all sorted. Once again, thanks to Bredo for putting together the build and also providing sanity support and stupid stuff I did. Like, I can never remember which way the fans blow. Turns out a good rule of thumb is that the fans blow towards their sticker, so like a cool sticker on them. You can use that to figure out which way they blow. M2 SSDs are difficult to put in, as are like any form of CPU block. Didn't enjoy that at all, because it's basically like, smush this real tight. Make sure it doesn't move around too much, or you'll shear the thermal paste. There'll be a difference in moved around too much. You're like spreading it around. Also, don't move it around too much, because if you're thermal paste, like saturated CPU block slips too far, you start painting your circuit board with slightly conductive. You don't want to do that either. So I hate that part. But took my time, know what I'm doing. So it's a new computer. That's what I'm doing now. I'm doing this sort of process where I try and do a day's work. And every time I find something that prevents me from doing the day's work, I then have to go set that up. I didn't want to do what I did previously, which is when I upgraded computers. I pulled my like OS drive and my data drive and shoved them into the new machine, and then like tried, like booted off them and updated that way. Takes a lot longer, and it also left a bunch of like cruft. Like, if you want to know what I mean by cruft, just go into your like app data local or local low or roaming folder and just be like, what the hell even is this? It's like, oh, it's a game I played 3 years ago, and even though I've uninstalled it, it's decided to leave like a bunch of random JSON files in my app data. Is it inside like app data the name of the game? No, it's just inside app data at the root. That's all it is. It's just like, guys, you don't need to do this. You can like, the other annoying thing is, like, you go to, like, documents, like, my documents, and, like, it just, like, starts dropping random shit in there. Like, I went in there, like, the other day. By that, I mean literally yesterday. And it was, like, there was a folder created in, you know, my documents called IIS Express. It's just, like, why? Like, that's an ancient web server. Like, an ancient web server. And so, like, why is that there? I've just had to disable OneDrive a different way. I think... No, I don't understand. I don't understand that, right? So I uninstalled all AI stuff, but Notepad has a Copilot button that apparently isn't included in that. Let me open up Paint. Because Linus Tech Tips was like, hey, if you open up Paint, it's like going to ask you to sign into your Microsoft account. And it's like, hey, no. Sorry about that. So I've got like a folder that's dedicated to Resonite-specific development. Anything I do or have done for Resonite, even if it's like only tangentially related to Resonite, goes inside that folder. That's on an old magnetic drive, so I'm copying that across to a new solid drive that is dedicated for development stuff. Earlier, I tried to copy across just all my development stuff, but I used to do a lot of JavaScript development. And for anyone who doesn't know JavaScript development well, it was like chugging along because it was copying like 10 to 20 npm package folders from one hard drive to another. So when I do that part of the hard drive copy across, I'll have to use like a xcopy or robocopy or whatever it's called, and just be like, hey, just ignore npm packages, trust me. Like, just ignore them. For those of you who are part of the JavaScript community who are trying to be like, oh, if you use pnpm, it'll be great. It's like, yeah, you told me that Yarn would fix that too, and Yarn didn't, so like, go away. I'm not using Yarn. I'm not using PNPM. I'm just trying to avoid JavaScript right now. And if I do use JavaScript, I use NPM. It's like, yeah. That's what's interesting working on a new computer. I'm fascinated how each new computer I buy, like from scratch, there's less and less for me to do. It's like, well, cable management's easier. Oh, you don't need to worry about magnetic drives anymore. Oh, we've added stuff to the case to make it easier to, like, you know, install hard drives and stuff. Like, a long time ago, you didn't have the sort of, like, back panel setup that you usually got now. Like, you used to not be able to open up the back, right? You'd only have one side that you could look at. But now all cases are, like, done in halvesies, and the bottom of each case is usually just, like, a shove the cables in and then, like, wedge the cover on place, right? Because no one's going to see the cable management once it's shut. I also have a first non-RGB, like, setup, right? No RGB fans, no RGB RAM, no RGB, like, cooler, etc. Except that the motherboard itself has RGB and is currently desperately reaching out through its RGB headers to, like, find other RGB stuff to talk to. So I need to, like, restart the computer, go into the BIOS, and just, like, tweak a lot of stuff. Also, for some reason, it's using the hard drive activity light, even though all of the drives in this machine are solid-state drives. It's, like, kind of useless. I did consider just putting a piece of tape over it, but I'm like, I'm sure the BIOS can turn it off. Excuse me. Yeah, it's just, like, it's the most useless thing in the world, and it's incredibly... Same thing with that reset button. I'm like, why the hell is there a reset button? Like, I'm going to hit it. I'm going to hit it accidentally. I'm going to have to put, like, one of those, like, covers over it. Seercat, who made a very good suggestion. If the light on the case rather than the board itself, just unplug the cable from the header. Unfortunately, the header for this case is one solid unit. They used to be, like, you know, each individual cable, but I hated. I'm just going to check the BIOS, and if I can't do it in the BIOS, I'm going to go ahead and put a piece of tape over it. Like, that is the, like, the BIOS should have something for it, and if it doesn't, then... Oh my god, I got some tape. Like, anything beyond that is, like, unplug everything, put it back up again on the table, and, like, pull off the sides. I'm like, no, man. I spent, like, 2 or 3 days doing that. It's under the desk. It's going to stay under the desk until I can't fix something on it, or I need to, like, do some. Let's move forwards to a computer user who says, are there any long songs that you like? Asking this because my brain has recently been affected by Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells. Tubular Bells is fantastic. Look into their other items of work. You should also look into other, like, experiential albums. I do know a bunch of ones because, like, I kind of like that sort of genre. But it's, like, albums that you can listen to, like, start to finish, and there is a theme, and you could just appreciate them as one piece of music because they call out each other. Would recommend Dire Straits' Love Over Gold. That's a really old one. That follows through to each other. Hey, if you want to do classical as well, just go ahead and do Four Seasons by whichever old person did that. Because again, that's meant to be listened into one row. But yeah, try Dire Straits' Love Over Gold. Vivaldi did Seasons. I was going to say, like, Tchaikovsky and things. I don't know my classical music. I like it. I know the, like, bits that I like, but I know them by sound, not by name or anything like that. Moving forwards to Ozzy's question. Given the feature is so new, you might not know, but is the texture unpacker something that's favorable, like, video players and the like? I don't know. I did read that, like, review for that thing. I read a review for that wizard, like, quite a while ago, the code, and I knew then, but I haven't refreshed my memory on it, and I haven't had a chance to take a look. I don't have access to, like, a local copy of FreaksEngine right now. That's, like, I'm trying to copy it off this old, like, mechanical drive, and that's the NPM issue I was having. It takes, like, a surprising amount of time for me to be comfortable on a computer. Like, right now it feels like I'm, like, I don't know. Every time I touch it, it feels like it's made out of knives, because I, like, there's just so much stuff missing. Like, it didn't have Audacity just before this, so I got Audacity on it, and I'm like, great. And then, like, I load it up in Audacity, and Audacity's like, hey, we're using our new UI now, which is default, like, light mode. I'm just like, ah, okay. How dark mode? I don't know. Okay. Guess we'll just be light mode for a bit. Okay. And then I hit record, and it just crashes. And I'm just like, great. So the new version doesn't work, or I'm an idiot, or, like, something else. So I open it back up again, and I hit record, and it works. I'm just like, hell yeah, it's working. Next up, Snap says, are you thinking of making your own Resolink projects? Probably not. Like, I like Resolink. I'm keeping up with the code. I keep up with what people are doing with it. I'll, of course, try and fix bugs on it if I, you know, if it's in my area or on my priority list and I can make time for it. Absolutely. But we've long gone past the sort of, like, I can have time for my own Resonite projects. If I do, it's usually just, like, a meme. So check my meme folder and my public folder. But like I can't commit to any additional projects. I've already got so many going on and so many more that need to start this year. So it's just like, ugh. CompUser has a, you know, in regards to Long Song's update, CompUser says that their sister doesn't like instrumental music. I most of the time prefer music that does not have lyrics, because I usually struggle to hear the lyrics. And if I do hear the lyrics, I have no idea what they're like trying to say. It depends on like who's interpreting the song to like if they care about what the lyrics are saying or not. Like I remember like listening to a rap at like a friend's house when I was young, and I stopped the friend and I was like, "So you like this music?" And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, what are they talking about?" And he said, "I don't know. It just sounds good." I'm just like, "Okay, all right." Because there's of course like more like rhythmic or like melodic rap where it's more like the flow of the song that you're paying attention to, and so the word choice is a little bit like not hand wavy because there's more care put into it to make it rhyme. But like you like analyze the song lyrically, and it's just like, what the heck are you like? What message are you trying to send here? It's like, oh, I'm just trying to make a song that sounds good. And then there's other tracks where it's like, oh, there's like serious lyrics going on here that are telling us something. And people say the same thing. They're like, it just sounds good. I'm like, yeah, like this track's about like a car going over a cliff and crashing into a tree. And they're like, yeah, but it sounds great. And I'm like, what? So lyrics bad. Whereas with like a purely melodical or like, I'm okay with like choir, you know, when it's not like discernible words, etc. You can interpret it a lot easier because you don't have the bias of the definition of the words. You know, if there's a song and they're like, I'm walking to the park, it's like, okay, well, you're literally walking to the park. Unless you want me to analyze that like artistically, in which case like, oh, the park is a metaphor for like the darkness in your heart. It's very confusing. No lyrics, easier to understand. Nuki says, favorite meta memes. Favorite's difficult because it's basically like depends on my memory and I can't really remember any right now. I like the Absolved of Your Sins one. That one's like problematic due to like high motion, but I can get you the, yes, I can get the origin, like the sort of,
I absolve you of your sins. You have been forgiven.
The annoying part about this is I thought that sins. The pastor was pastor, not pastor. The pastor was. I thought the pastor was being serious, but the pastor is like the guy that keeps painting his head different colors in the front of his car. I don't know his name. I just know him as the guy who keeps doing that. Hench something. Dan Henschel. See, yeah, that video is also Dan. So it's like it's not actually. It's not actually a pastor of any kind, so it's not like someone seriously like, you know, trying to absolve you of your sins with a laser beam. With that, we're at the end of questions. Happy to keep going. I would like to end at 1:30 though, because you remember I missed the post office last time. I don't need to go to the post office again, but like I do need to keep a better eye on the clock, and I do have like 4 or 5 hours worth of like, oh, I forgot to install Hibbly Flibbly. I've installed Hibbly Flibbly. Where is the settings for Hibbly Flibbly? Because Hibbly Flibbly isn't behaving like it did on my old machine. I need to find the setting file. Just did that for my microphone. I need to do it for ShareX. I need to reboot such that my keyboard's remapped correctly because I use sharp keys for that. I need to reboot to go take a look at the BIOS to turn off RGB and the, like, hard disk drive. I'll probably do that after this because I was watching a video, but like I finished that. So keep typing your questions, but that's why I wanted to go to NixOS. I am on Windows 11 here, but like it was meant to be that my old computer was going to be the last Windows computer I have, but like at personal circumstances, like I can't be down for that long in terms of development. I'm already running behind because I don't have everything I need set up. Okay, Okay, I don't have the ability to open the code base. We have to do this from GitHub right now. So the question Nuki has about Protoflux is, read Dynvar and Dynvar input have very different behavior under the hood. What are all of them doing? So now I have to explain the behavior, but I don't have access to the code, so I'm going to use the wiki. But my home and end keys are unbound, so I just ended up on Wikipedia rather than wiki because I need to use my home and end keys and can't right now. I need another tab. All right, about both the nodes, and I can just give me a second to remind myself of what they do. Yes. Okay. So I need to explain the basic difference, and then I need to look at the code and explain what they do under the hood. So read dynamic variable takes a source and a path, which means it can read multiple dynamic variable spaces based on the source slot that you're in. So if you linked up to a slot that was within one dynamic variable space, it could read that one from that path. And if you linked up to another one, it could read that one. A good example of where you might use this in game is, let's say that you've got a target system or a shooting system. You could shoot something with a raycast, and then you could get what you hit, and then you could use read dynamic variable to read into the dynamic variable space of the target and maybe find out its score or something like that. And you do that using read dynamic variable. Dynamic variable input, on the other hand, just takes a variable name and can be directly entered into it. What that one will do is it will only use the dynamic variable space that the dynamic variable var input node is in. It's therefore more optimal because it doesn't need to search for the space, which happens in read dynamic variable, because you can input the source and then it needs to find the space, because it's like, doesn't need to change space. It can just register the space that it's in when it's created, and then change spaces when it's reparented. So wherever possible, dynamic var input. Like if you ever use read dynamic variable and then you put like local slot or like local space or parent slot or something like that into the read dynamic variable, you might as well try and use dynamic var input. Feta, thank you. I know that like periodically people discover dynamic variable input and they're like, how am I meant to know the difference, etc. I do think we could do a better job on the wiki, but so I'll endeavor to do that, but we'll probably forget. All right, let me try and find the code. I'm not going to go through, like, Nuki, I've just read that you had the exact same question answered on the last resonance whilst I struggled to look at the code base. Fruks knows better because Fruks wrote those nodes and also designed the dynamic variable space system. Generically, what I've said is true, though. Like, if you can get away with dynamic variable input, use that over read dynamic variable. If you need read dynamic variable for some reason, use it. And that's, like, generically the same with, like, all Resonite things. Is like, find what works for you, and then like, we can totally tell you an optimal solution, but when we give you the optimal solution, that's the optimal solution. Fruks is probably like speed typing here, like, no, it's the other way around, at which point I'm just like, yeah, well, the name's so similar. So we'll wait just to double check based on what Fruks is typing. The reason I gave up was that I'm over on GitHub, and I did like GitHub search, which is quite good, for dynamic variable input. But I found a partial class, which is something which, you know, C# supports, is having like multiple parts of the class in different files. And I can't be bothered to figure out how GitHub does that, because in Visual Studio, I can just right click the partial class and like find its other components in like one click. Here, I don't know. Oh, it turns out I can click it on the right and it goes into there. Hell yeah. Let's take a look. Yeah, this is like basically like, so Nuki's updated Nuki's question to say, I know that dynvar input has less to do. I'm just wondering how much less. So what measurement would you like that in? Because depending on what measurement you would like that in, it might actually end up being more. If it's like assembly instructions, no one cares. If it's like C# lines, no one cares. Do you want that in time? In which case we'd have to like profile it, etc. Do you want an actual CPU? Like, we're telling you it's the better one, so you can go ahead and use it. Time could work as a metric, yeah. So we wouldn't be able to measure either, because like honestly there wouldn't be much between either of them. The problem occurs when you have, say, like 100 of those nodes or 1,000 of those nodes within in a world, because then you'd be able to actually compare that. In the future, we do want to get to the point where we can like say load this protoflux graph, like profile it, figure out what's wrong, report on it. And then we might even be able to like run some tests on that in development. So you know, when someone makes a change to a really popular node, we run a bunch of benchmark tests and it's like, yo, the execution for this protoflux graph went up by 50 seconds. What happened? But yeah, per node, it's like microseconds. Otherwise, I have to like perform an in-depth like analysis of like line by line how both works, which like eventually someone will have to do to be like a documentation complete code base, but not right now. Like, we'd probably do that when we can benchmark it, right? Because we'd do benchmarks, and then we would, like, We would scientifically confirm that dynamic variable input was faster. And then we would write that somewhere. We'd be like, hey, guys, dynamic variable input is faster. Here's the scientific results. And then someone will say, oh, why is it faster? And using those scientific results, we can look at that effectively. Tough boss, don't forget. Yeah, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this because it happens like every single office hours. And it's not like, it's frustrating. Not like, I'm not frustrated at you, Nuki. I'm frustrated at like the underlying cause of it. It's like, we're telling you this is faster. So let's jump around a bit. So Nuki says, this thing involves sending a slot through a dynamic impulse and having it read dynamic vars from that slot, which means it needs to use the right read dynamic variable commands. So I wonder if there's a way to optimize those calls behind just minimizing. That's a specific example, especially that I gave, the way where you would need to use read dynamic variable, because you've got a dynamic slot. If you've got a dynamic slot reference, then you need to use read dynamic variable. The only other way you could do it would cause more overhead. So the more overhead way to do it would be to make like a slot called probe, right? And the slot called probe has a bunch of dynamic variable input nodes on it, and then custom logic to happen that when you reparent the probe to someone else's object for like a second or whatever, it can gather the data and then reparent it back to your system to bring it into your variable space. But you're probably already doing stuff like that off the tail of the read dynamic variable node. And that like probe concept that I just described is kind of what the read dynamic variable node does. I can advise you on another item that may cause performance issues, which is a read dynamic variable node that has a slot, which is marked as continuously changing coming into it. Because what that may do, and I kind of have to like go back and forwards and remind myself, is re-trigger the search pattern to find the dynamic variable space every frame, which of course would be problem. I know we have that issue sometimes with find child by name. Users plug in a continuously changing slot and it might re-trigger that even if it's like the same slot. I recommend using find child by name in like stuff that's like isolated from continuously changing things. Jumping around, have I seen the leaky local impulse bucket node? I think I like fixed some bugs in it. Let me have a look. Nope. All I did was I categorized it when we did the node category. I think I'm one last question before we head off here. What is the code for? Oh, actually, I did miss. I'm just going to go through all the questions. No more questions, but I'm going to go through all the ones I missed. All right. Let's try not to, I don't know, ask the same question more than once or something like that. If you want to like look into more about like how like code is optimized, look into the history of the fast square root, right? That is a like micro optimization that happened purely from the fact that the engine was doing so many of those calls that it became a problem. Yosh is talking about, I'm sorry to abridge Yoshi, but I'm going to for time. Yosh is talking about disabling syntax highlighting in their editor and how it's improved their ability to read and handle code. I think that's horrific, but that's okay. Because they follow up with, are there any setups, practices, habits that you have programming that others may consider unorthodox, either in general or the specific language project you work on? Yeah, I do this thing where I like add random comments, usually in all caps, sometimes swear words throughout the code base, to like flag myself as interested in that file, because it will show up in the Git changes. And then I can use the Git changes as like a sort of like to-do list, because those comments will be like, here, or like, this looks sus, and stuff like that, right? So that makes it easier to find things. I will also maintain like a running notepad of just like random parts on my clipboard. I know that Windows has clipboard history, but that thing scares me, so it's disabled. I use a notepad document as my clipboard history. I also do the thing, like you'll see it on the wiki repo as well. Like I try and keep an updated list of all the links I've used during the research of my project. And the reason behind that is like, sometimes they'll tell you more. So like, I think there's like a part one of a blog series that's linked on one of those like resources lists. And I could go back there and be like, oh, there's part two now. Take a look and read that. As for like unorthodox, I really want to build that Zoomy UI I talked about last time. But like that will probably be like a retirement project anyway. Shadow says, do you fire on nodes poll for changes every frame, or they listen for change events? Double check the wiki pages for that. But last time I read the wiki pages, they were. I want to add more details to those, though, because they get like questions once a call. Moving forward to Fizzy Rabbit's question. In Resonite, when a file is being imported, the import data gets stuck on importing items processing thing. I assume that means the import ran into some sort of unhandled exception. What is the best way to find out what happened during the process processing to cause the failure? Double check your log files. I am working on and off in improving that import to like provide more errors. I think I provided some recently. Again, I'll have to access the code base to confirm that, but I remember adding an error message for like one branch of that whole import process. I don't remember like which or like what happened, but I did start doing that. There are some older parts of the code where like an error message is served as just a true or false boolean, and we're trying to like make that into like, hey, there's a string, or even better, there's a localization key, so we can start surfacing those towards you. I know there's one registration one, like login or register dot too many accounts, that isn't localized. I keep forgetting that one. I think there's an issue. We'll get to it at some point. Goldie says, what's the code for finger photos? It's heuristics to figure out if your fingers are making the finger photo gesture. Fast inverse square root. Yeah, I don't know what I said before, but Radio is more knowledgeable of that than me. Yeah. Right. We're gonna leave off here, and I'm gonna keep going. Also, I don't know when I'm gonna like put it onto the calendar, but I will be putting onto the Discord calendar here, like Prime recreates the tech tree from backups. And it's just me going to be like sat in public working stage, like angrily recreating the tech tree from my backup because my backup failed. So that'll be fun. Once that's done, I kind of want to experiment with some new forms of content. I don't want this to turn into like a giant thing because we're already like 10 minutes over, but I'm sure you guys already have the recent Discord news. I've been trying to sort of head my office hours towards Twitch anyway. Couldn't quite get that done this week, A, because of the surprise of the Discord announcement, and B, because it's a new computer, but I do at least have OBS installed already. So we're heading towards the YouTube. But as we're heading towards the YouTube, I want to do some additional like content, maybe on my own channel, just to like try out some stuff. And one of those is like a monthly tech tree overview. That tech tree overview each month will be very duplicitous, I think that's a word, in that I'll re-go over a lot of things, but it will just be like really good to just link that to someone each month, even if nothing, because like each month it'll be like, hi, over here's the UI update. And yes, here is the UI update. Yes, we do plan to make it so you can move stuff around the inventory, because I know that's like a common question that still occurs. So anyway, I'm going to head off now, and I will speak to you guys soon.